to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 181 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, how's it going? And welcome back to the show. This week, it's going to be about Star Wars. Specifically, Star Wars Galactic Nights at the Disney Hollywood Studios. John attended the first Star Wars Galactic Nights this past Friday, and Sam got him online to talk all about it. So pull up your chair, turn off your lightsaber, and start charging your droids, because here we go.
Hello, and welcome back to the Disney Nerds Podcast. I am Sam from Sam's Disney Diary, and joining me today with some very timely and absolutely exciting news from Hollywood Studios, Johnny Hollywood. What is going on, John Kappos?
How you doing, buddy? It's weird not to be next to you at the crossroads of America at the Hollywood Studios.
I absolutely would love to be doing a walkthrough, as we have now, six, seven, or how many of them that's been. The walkthroughs are absolutely amazing. You were able to do it, and we teased the last time we walked through Hollywood Studios that you would be attending a very special event that was coming soon to Hollywood Studios, and that is the Star Wars Galactic Nights.
Yes, sir. It was April 14th, last Friday, 2017, and I call it Star Wars Weekends 2.0.
Okay, we'll get to that in a second. Before we jump right into Galactic Nights, I want to step back a second because there has been so much Star Wars news and things coming out, and that's because Star Wars Celebration was happening at the Orlando Convention Center. And Disney sort of piggybacked this on top of that, right?
Absolutely. They did a fireworks show and a unique show over at Indiana Jones Theater back where Celebration was Orlando a couple of years ago, but they did not have a quote-unquote event.
Well, at that point, they were still doing Star Wars Weekends, because that, if I remember right, back in 2012, Celebration was also in Orlando.
Correct.
But I guess before we get that, let's step back a second. What is Star Wars Celebration, for those that don't know? Star Wars Celebration is a fan gathering to celebrate the Star Wars franchise, and it's put on by Lucasfilms. The first one was in 1999 in Denver, Colorado, and it was set up to celebrate the release of the prequels. In fact, Star Wars Episode I, A Phantom Menace. Subsequent events took place pretty much every year to celebrate Attack of the Clones, Revenge of the Sith, and it's gone all the way up to Celebration Orlando, which happened here in 2017. Mm-hmm. There were roughly every year so Celebration in Denver, then it moved to Indianapolis for a couple of years, Los Angeles, a few in London, in Japan, in Anaheim, and most recently this past weekend, wrapping up yesterday at the Orange County Convention Center in Orlando, Florida. Now, at that event this year, which I'm pretty sure you watched a lot of, right, John?
The one thing I love about Lucasfilms with Celebration is that they stream the whole event, and they have it perfectly timed down to having a stage at the expo floor and then streaming every panel that's at Celebration for the 4 days. It's beautiful.
It is. It is a video production. If you're not familiar with it, you go to, pretty simple, you go to youtube.com/Star Wars. And if the event is happening live, you can catch it live, but you can also catch some replays and recaps. And in fact, there's a really cool 7-minute long recap video that just shows what the experience is all about.
And if you're a geek like me, you can sit there and they have the whole stream, so you can watch the 10-hour version Friday, or the 5-hour version of Sunday's wrap-up show, so.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can watch it's amazing how much is there. Now, for this particular celebration, this coincided with the 40th anniversary of Star Wars: A New Hope. And it was also big in promoting Star Wars: The Last Jedi. In fact, we saw the first teaser trailer of The Last Jedi, which was pretty interesting.
That could be a show on itself, all the details.
It absolutely could be. And of course, that just leads to more and more speculation. And I love the fact that Lucas puts just a little bit out, enough for you to say, is that Darth Vader's helmet or is that Kylo Ren's helmet? What's going on in that scene? What's going on there? And yeah, you're right. We could talk about that for an entire show.
Absolutely.
So interesting. This celebration was the first Star Wars celebration that Harrison Ford attended. He made an appearance during the opening panel, which was a celebration of 40 years of Star Wars. It was held on April 13th. It also included notable greats such as Kathleen Kennedy, George Lucas himself. John Williams performed with the Orlando Fillmore Orchestra, which is absolutely incredible. There was a special tribute to Carrie Fisher by Mark Hamill on Friday. The teaser trailer we mentioned for The Last Jedi. It was also announced that Season 4 of Star Wars Rebels is the last season of Star Wars Rebels. How about that?
You gotta wonder what Dave Filoni has next up his sleeve, because Rebels has been great. He did a great job with Clone Wars. And going back real quick to the 40-year panel, Luke has called him his child. Like, that's George Lucas's right-hand man, is Dave Filoni. So you have to believe something's coming up right after Rebels.
Well, it seems to me at a previous Star Wars celebration, it was announced that the Clone Wars were ending, and then shortly after, Rebels was coming, which just introduced us to a whole bunch of new characters in the Star Wars saga. And when you think about it and how it ties back into Rogue One, I mean, we first saw Saw Gerrera in Rebels, and he becomes a character in Rogue One. So it does sort of a full circle thing there.
Absolutely.
Which was pretty cool. So all of that said, Star Wars Celebration was happening for the weekend. Now, I was a little disappointed because it happened to be Easter weekend, so I couldn't get there because I would love to be there. But it is what it is, right? Nothing I can do about that.
Well, that makes it great for Star Wars streaming at all. I mean, it makes sense. Unless you want to camp out overnight for panels. I mean, sitting on your couch, having a beverage, watching the whole thing, and you don't miss a thing.
You know, that's a great point, and I was able to watch while I was traveling for work. I was able to tune into some of that 40th anniversary panel when they introduced Harrison Ford, which, by the way, happened while Billy Dee Williams and Anthony Daniels and Warwick Davis and go right down the list. Peter Mayhauer, who is Chewbacca, they were all on stage. It was pretty cool, that's for sure.
It was a homecoming.
It was, for a lot of them, and it was interesting to see the interactions and of the cast. It was really cool.
And not to get sidetracked, but I do want to say this much. I hope Disney takes a note out of Lucasfilms, like with the D23 Expo. It would be great to have the same kind of coverage for that expo as it is for Star Wars Celebration.
Yeah, I find D23 Expo, to me personally, having been to it, is more like a technical conference that I've been to for many times as part of my job, where you have a keynote session and then 4, 5, 6, 7 breakout sessions happening simultaneously, and you don't know which one to go to, and it would be awesome to see some of those things archived. You're absolutely right. D23 is coming before you know it.
I know you'll be there, so I'm excited to hear it.
In July, absolutely. So all of that said, this entire Star Wars population has descended on Anaheim under the Orange County Convention Center. And there's activities happening all the time, and Disney Parks decides maybe to take advantage of the fact that there's all of these Star Wars fans in one place, and they announced about 6 months ago, I'd say, Star Wars Galactic Nights, which is a one-night-only event happening April 14th, 2017. It just happens to be taking place while Star Wars Celebration is happening over at the convention center.
Great timing, huh?
Pretty good timing if you think about it. Now, the interesting thing I saw right from this, the title was Star Wars Galactic Nights, N-I-G-H-T-S, as in multiple nights, but it was only one night. So that was a little confusing, but I I guess it is what it is.
Well, it had different hints throughout the night. Some hosts said this is the first ever Galactic Nights. Like with merchandise, when you go to Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party or you go to the Christmas party, all the merchandise says 2017. With all the merchandise except for a tumbler mug for Galactic Nights, it had the date April 14th, 2017, acting like it was just for one night. So it's very much confusion with people talking about it, and then merchandise, to me, in my opinion, made it seem like it was a one-night event.
Yeah, and for 2017, I think, yes, it is. But this could also be a test to see what else they can get away with later, right?
Absolutely.
Disney's the way I look at it.
Yeah, and Disney's on a very high kick about being extra-ticketed events, so...
So let's talk about that. This was indeed an extra-ticketed event. For those that are not familiar, that's much like Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party and the Very Merry Christmas Party, where you are purchasing a ticket that is good for the event. The park closes early, and you get admission sometime during the day. So let me start by asking you that, John, because you attended. You have first-hand experience. I wish that I could say that I was there, and we're walking through right now, but I digress, I guess. For Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party, you can get into the park at 4 p.m. with your event ticket, but the event doesn't start till 7. Give me a little idea how that happened for Galactic Nights.
Absolutely the same time. 4 o'clock, when you came up to the gate, it's off to your right. They scan your ticket, and then they give you that big lanyard and your map. And you're on your way, and you can enjoy all the attractions and shows. And not to get too far into it right now, but during this event, everything was open, including character, Mickey, and Minnie, Olaf. Everything was open, attraction-wise, except for Playhouse Disney and for Beauty and the Beast.
Well,
so
come on, nobody wanted to go see Playhouse Disney while they were there for Star Wars.
Well, I mean, like Tower Terror had a 5-minute wait, Toy Story...
Got it. So let's get to some of those in just a second. Let me step back before I forget my thought here. So when you go to a Not-So-Scary or the Halloween Party, you get a wristband. And I know when you walk around, it's like, show your wristband. And for the first hour, you have your hand in the air showing all the cast members your wristband that you're supposed to be there. It sounds to me like there was no wristband. You got this really big lanyard that you wore.
Oh, it was huge. It went around your neck, and it had the Moon of Endor on one side, and then I know we'll get to it in a second, a scavenger hunt on the back of the lanyard.
So the lanyard they gave you was a scavenger hunt. So give me a little idea, what was this scavenger hunt, and how did you participate, and what was the payoff here? What sounds pretty cool.
Our mission was to seize the saga, because it was 40 years, and it was photo drops throughout the whole park. And you could either wait in the line, which was the biggest line. I thought the biggest line would be for Darth Vader or Boba Fett, for characters that you can't see every day at the studios. But these photo backdrops had the longest lines, going up to an hour at some locations. But to run through them real quick, one was Jabba the Hutt's Palace, where you could take a picture in front of Jabba and Salacious Crumb.
So these weren't based on some of the images that you sent me. These aren't just... like walls, like something that they hung. This was like a legitimate set that you were able to sit in and interact with, right?
Exactly. It's the sets they use for the marathon weekends as well. So.
Oh, okay. So where were these things in studios? Because there's not a lot of room right now, right?
Absolutely. The front of the Club Disney Entertainment Plaza
Disney, sure, down past Rock and Roller Coaster.
Exactly. It was Jabba the Hutt's Palace and Han Solo's Frozen in Carbonite, where you could take a picture with Han Solo Frozen in Carbonite, obviously.
Were they inside the Club Disney or outside in the...
They were outside in the promenade.
Got it. Okay.
And then the Hoth Wampa Cave, which had a Wampa, obviously, was out in front of the Muppets.
That's
and it had Luke's... Yeah, and the coolest thing about that one was it had Luke Skywalker's lightsaber hanging in the air.
That's
so you could try to reach it. So that was pretty cool.
That's cool.
Over by ABC's restaurant, by the Great Movie Ride, where Jedi Mickey and Minnie were for Star Wars Weekends, was the trash compactor, where you could take a picture and the famous New Hope scene.
where then, it looked like it was, you could like stand behind the bar that you're trying to hold up the bracelet from coming in.
Absolutely.
These are really cool photo sets, and I don't want it to go, I want people to know these are kind of neat. This wasn't just a photo, stand in front of the picture and get your photo taken. These are cool.
It was very immersive, I will say that much, and I was shocked to see these backdrops, and the line for the backdrops were incredible. Moving on to the Emperor's throne room, where you could sit and take a picture by the throne room, was
in
by
the
Echo.
Throne?
Exactly.
You got to it sit was, in the. Oh, I love it.
It was by Echo Lake near Gertie's Ice Cream Shack. And then Rogue One was by the old Jack Sparrow experience by Toy Story. And you could take a picture with K2SO.
Oh, so the Rogue One was the K2SO experience, which that's sort of a tall droid there, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think that one and the trash compactor was the most impressive ones. And then they added the speeder bike, which is by Star Tours, but that was just
that's the
every day.
Speeder bike that's always there, right?
Yeah. Going back to the scavenger hunt real quickly, so you could either take a picture with all those, or they had cast members, and they would give you a sticker from each movie, except for Force Awakens, which was already on your lanyard.
Okay, so you started with one on it. Was it the sticker already on there, or was it just printed on the lanyard?
It was printed on the lanyard.
Got it. Makes sense. And that's the very top. So if you look at this thing, it almost looks like a clock, right?
Exactly. So you put them all together, and everyone was interesting what Disney was going to do with them at the end of the night. And you got to the end of the night right before the fireworks, and we summoned the Force in front of the Chinese theater, and they had black lights that shined down on the audience, and you looked at your lanyard, and it had a Rebel Alliance logo, and it had "May the Force be with you" written on it. So that was pretty
cool. In the black light, you could see that.
Yes.
Is that on the side with the stickers, or on the other side with the moon?
The stickers. So you had to get all the stickers.
Oh, nice.
To see that experience, yeah. And then, and getting way ahead of, but when you walked out, they gave you a nice little poster of the all the stickers put together.
The finished collage. And that, now we'll get a picture of this for the show notes. But when I look at this, I think it's really cool. Think like a clock. And at the 12 o'clock position, sort of a slice of the pie, that's the Force Awakens that you said was there. But when you go around, did these correspond with the photo op? Like episode the first stickers, episode one? Phantom Menace.
Absolutely. And I think that was the only one that really didn't have
a photo to tie it
to. Absolutely. But other than that, like, the Han Solo one was 5, the Emperor was 6, so they usually, for the most part, had it.
So here's what I love about this. If you go around this like a clock, it's episode 1, episode 2, episode 3, episode 3.75, because that's where Rogue One fits, then episode 4, episode 5, episode 6, and 7 on the top. So that's kind of cool to see this picture, because you see on the left-hand side are the three original trilogy, and on the right-hand side is the three prequels, and then breaking them up on the bottom is Rogue One, and breaking them up on the top is The Force Awakens. And I just think it's an awesome poster with all of the characters from the Star Wars universe.
And it was great, and the kids loved it. Like, waiting in line for Darth Vader, family behind me was like, oh, we gotta get the next sticker. We gotta finish the pack and the set. Like, it was a awesome experience especially kids.
So you didn't have to get your picture to get the sticker. Is that true?
No, correct. They had cast members by the locations just giving out the stickers, and people are saying, oh, we need 2 or 3, and they were just giving them out like candy.
Got it. So now I'm asking that because I guess what we didn't start with, you got in at 4 o'clock. That's when you were able to get in with that pass. When did this event start, and how long did this event go?
It started at 7, and they even had an announcement, like Mickey's Not So Scary, saying this is a private event. And right then, spotlights came on, DJ Elliott came on the stage, and what the coolest thing was that they had a red carpet up and down Hollywood Boulevard.
Ooh, all the way up and down. So, from where you come in, all the way down to center stage?
Actually, to the corner of Sunset and Hollywood.
Okay. that's still pretty neat to see red carpet down there.
And all the cast members had lightsabers and treated you like royalty, the whole nine yards walking in. So it started at 7, and of course I had to get front row for the motorcade that started at 8. But before that happened, at 7:25...
Okay, so it went from 7 till midnight. That's what you said, right?
Yes, sir.
So it went 5 hours is what you had.
Yes.
And let me step back to my original question, then I'll let you keep going. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 photo ops. I'm guessing that the lines would not permit you to get to all 7 of those photo ops and do anything else the whole night.
Absolutely. It blew my mind how long those lines were. Like, that was
the
main...
To get the picture and the sticker. Well, not so much the sticker, but the picture.
The picture, correct. Because those sets were so perfectly done. Like, using the Force to try to get the lightsaber and being in the Wampa pit. And the Han Solo carbonite and Jabba the Hutt's house was so well done. That's where the lines were.
Yeah, I can imagine. I would want to do all of that. So this is one of those things where you got to pick and choose what you want to do, right? Because there's a full schedule besides these photo opportunities, which are just one piece of this thing.
And like Mickey's Not So Scary has like the parades and they have the fireworks.
Sure.
This is action-packed for 5 hours. I can see it. Like at the end, I'll say what I think they should do. But they need to make it a 6-hour event. Like, 5 hours is rushed to do everything that has to do with Galactic Knights.
I got it. All right, so you got your lanyard, you're walking in, 7 o'clock, and you were off to do what first at 7:25, you were saying?
Was the Imperial March, which had everyone a-buzzing, because that was something new for Galactic Knights. And got front row, and the lieutenant and the stormtroopers were walking from Star Tours, and they had a video crew with them, and all 8 stormtroopers were interactive and could talk to the audience as they were walking by. And it was the same lieutenant that did Star Wars Weekends and all that stuff, so it was cool to see him. And they walk on the stage. 2 stormtroopers came up with him, and the other 4 was supposed to secure the sector with the audience, and which failed, and Darth Vader was not pleased. And all of a sudden you hear the Imperial March and Darth Vader comes out and he talks to the audience and has some pyro. And then he marches the stormtroopers all the way back from the center stage all the way to Star Tours,
Go in the other direction. Okay.
Correct.
Because usually when the Imperial March happens, they head over to Launch Bay, but now they're going to Star Tours. I like it.
Yeah. So it was very cool. And it was very interactive throughout that show, and everyone was loving Darth Vader being on stage and then walking through the audience. And so that was very cool. And then 7:45 was the Galaxy Far, Far Away. And if you look at the map, it says all these events that are offered throughout the day have a special touch for the event at night.
Okay, because when I hear Star Wars Galaxy Far, Far Away, we have seen that before at Hollywood Studios. It's just part of the daily routine. It happens at center stage, and I think the audio has been on this podcast before.
Exactly, and why would you waste your time with that if you want to do something else
that you could see? Yeah.
And this is for Ed, because I know Ed's going to love this part. The show's going on, same old show. At the end, BB-8 comes out, as always, and we have our first hero face character come out as Rey.
So this is the first time we've seen Rey in Disney parks, period.
And she was spot on.
You sent me photographs and it was a double take. They didn't get Daisy there, did they? Yeah, you're right, dude. Spot on.
I mean, she acted perfectly, and that was the highlight of the special touches throughout the same shows that are offered throughout the day.
So let me ask you this. Have you seen A Galaxy Far, Far Away since Galactic Knights? And is Rey still in it? Was that a one-time only, or is she now a new addition to the show?
I went Saturday and Sunday just for that cause to see if she was there, and she was not there. So it's pretty cool that Disney is putting some special touches on events that you can't get throughout the day.
Yeah, that's very good. I love it.
Then the motorcade. So going at 8 o'clock, the motorcade started.
Stars in Cars, they're calling this. I'm looking at the list there. The Stars in Cars, I haven't heard that since the old Stars in Cars parade that they had daily at the studios. That's awesome.
Absolutely. That's good. No problem. And I, the major thing was it was all Star Wars Weekends fans. And Sam, you've been there.
I have.
Multiple times. And you can attest to the panels, the events are awesome. The fireworks are great. But it's the people that make that event. And yeah, you see the same people every weekend. And it was a homecoming for everybody. And everyone was waiting for that motorcade. And they had Mark Daniel, who does a lot of Disney Parks blogs. He was the host. And they had the actor that played K2SO and some lighting directors. And then it got good with Warwick Davis, who played
Wicket.
Wicket. And the Anthony Daniels, which played 3PO.
Yeah.
Peter Mayhew, who played Chewbacca, and Ray Park, who played Darth Maul. No one from the new saga, which I thought was interesting.
What I find interesting from what you just said, I think all of those celebrities had been to Star Wars Weekends at some point in the past.
Absolutely. And then they came down the street and got on the stage like Star Wars Weekends, obviously, and I ran to get front row. And Warwick Davis said it best. It's good to be home. He said his family's missed being at Star Wars Weekends, and it feels good to be back with all the Star Wars fans. And Ray Park said it said it as well. Like, we did this for 4 to 5 weekends every year in the summer.
Yeah.
And we jumped at the bit to go back to Hollywood Studios. And then the only difference between that and the Celebrity Motorcade with Star Wars Weekends, instead of going back down the street, they headed over to Star Tours.
And so they basically followed the old parade route.
Exactly. They stopped and took 3 photos with fireworks on the stage, and then they went over to Star Tours and exited out that way. Backstage.
Which is, for those of you familiar with Hollywood Studios, that is the old parade route. It would come in at the very front near Sid's and go all the way back and exit next to Star Tours.
Exactly, and be on the small stage over there and do the little photo op there. So that's been years and years ago. So, and then they had the First Order March, which didn't change at all from the day March. So, but it was pretty cool, I'll say this, to see Captain Phasma and the troopers marching on the red carpet and the spotlights in the air.
That's what's different about that. So it looks like they did that twice, the First Order March, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And then walking over to the animation.
Sorry to interrupt you. Did Phasma stop and do her little show on the stage and then keep going, or did they just march straight through?
Absolutely. The same show. She stops a little bit at the corner of Sunset and Hollywood, interacts with a couple guests, and then goes on stage, does the demonstration, and then they walk back down Hollywood Boulevard as Everyday Operations does with the march. So heading over to the animation courtyard, they actually had the company that made the droids for Force Awakens. They had a R2-D2 unit, 2 of those. They had a BB-8 out there rolling around. They had the droid that was in the Death Star, which is the name.
The droid thing, is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
I don't know if that's what they call it or not, but it's the little thing with no face that just sort of, that Chewbacca yells at and it runs the other way.
Absolutely. That's the exact same thing.
I don't know exactly. I think it's the box droid. I'm not sure. So was that an exhibit? Was it a presentation, or was it just like a cool photo opportunity?
They were just going all around the animation courtyard. R2-D2 would be hanging out by Playhouse Disney for 20 minutes, and he would roar around and go by the Voyage of the Little Mermaid. So it was a very...
Was there a line or a queue of people waiting to get their picture with R2, or was it just one, like when the stormtroopers walk around, you just get lucky and walk up to them and they snap a quick picture?
Exactly, like the stormtroopers. They even have character attendants saying they're on missions and they're not going to stay around the same place for long.
Yeah, and I think that's just to prevent a long queue from forming in the place back there.
Exactly. And funny you mentioned stormtroopers, because in the same area, they had the death troopers, which did stop for photos, even though the character attendants said they're on a mission from Krennic and have to keep moving along. They did stop for every photo that wanted to be taken, because that was a big draw for characters. That was one of the new posable characters that they have in the map that you can take pictures with.
Very nice. And I see that as I look through the characters that were available. Is that the AWR troopers? That's the death troopers, right?
Correct.
I think that's what they call them. So it was Vader, Chewbacca, Kylo Ren, BB-8, which is new. We talked about it on the show briefly last time. Boba Fett, some Jawas, some Ewoks, Imperial troopers, and the death troopers. That's a pretty good list of characters available.
Absolutely. And going back real quick, when you got in at 4 o'clock,
right,
they closed the line for BB-8 and only let party guests go. So I did that first thing, ran in there, and there was a 5-minute wait. And the coolest thing about that, and I know you'll freak out as much as I did, Sam,
okay,
is they have blast doors that open automatically, like from the Death Star. It's the coolest.
That's cool.
Doors that have the same sound. And that even the queue, and it's in the old Disney Infinity Room, which
right,
you and I both know is not that huge.
Not really.
And they do have an extended queue if they need it in the cantina, but you're supposed to be underneath a air hangar, and when you're waiting to go to BB-8, you can hear airplanes take off above you, and the walls are shaking. And the
Dude,
thing
those
about
aren't airplanes, those are X-Men fighters.
Absolutely, absolutely. But the cool thing about that meet and greet, it's very personalized. Kind of like the Chase Lounge meet and greet with Kylo Ren.
Right.
You're the only guest meeting BB-8, which can go out of two ways. If BB-8 talks, he'll interpret to the character attendant, and then the character attendant will tell you what he says. You can have a conversation that way. Or if you do speak droid, which I do, you can start talking first to BB-8, and you can have your own conversation with BB-8 yourself.
Of course you speak droid. So tell me, what does that mean, talk to BB-8? How do you do that? You just have a conversation with him? Or
I asked him how he was doing in Orlando, and he beeped away that he loved being here and that he was excited.
How do you do that? He just beeps, and the character attendant tells you what he said?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And it's very same beeps as in the movies. Obviously, if you talk about Kylo Ren, he'll have the high-pitched alarm that he always does. They have two rooms that you can meet BB-8 in, so the line moves quickly, which is nice.
That's good.
Boba Fett was in the cantina, which they do over in Disneyland, so I got to experience that, which was pretty cool.
Was there a queue set up in the cantina for Boba Fett, or was he just walking around like the Jawas usually do?
There was a queue outside where in the old animation building, and I know Sam still has done a Disney diary on this, where the grumpy old men's statues used to be.
Yeah, the statue was, and they're not there anymore.
So yep,
the queue
that's
was outside, and they let you come in to see him in the cantina. And that makes sense because that courtyard, there's a door right there in the cantina.
Absolutely. And he was very interactive. He talked as well. Vader was where Kylo Ren is. Kylo Ren was at the Chase Lounge only.
Okay.
Chewbacca.
But it wasn't Chase Lounge. It was open to anybody. It just
correct.
Okay, that way they could get another Vader in there. Chewie was where Chewie always is?
Absolutely.
Got
so,
it.
And
Jawas,
those lines, Jawas were actually outside by the Star Tours at Tatooine in that backdrop. If you're going down the hill by Muppets,
that's a cool backdrop for a picture with Jawas.
That felt very much like Star Wars Weekends.
Yeah, because I can remember that. And the Ewoks, I'm assuming, were near the speeder bike or in the same area?
They were in the queue for Star Tours underneath.
Sure, in the Ewok village.
Yeah. And they were even talking. And like you could hear them talking all the way by the Indiana Jones experience. So it was very... The character meet and greets were great. And I think that was the highlight for me. Even the Jedi Training Academy had a special touch. The Seventh Sister was unmasked, so she didn't have a mask on, and she fought the kids. There weren't many kids doing the Jedi Training Academy, because we talked before, I think people did the character meet and greets and the photo ops because they saw it on the post or on the Times Guide,
sure,
the same shows, but they didn't really read that they were geared to this event. Because there was no one watching the first Galaxy Far, Far Away show, and then when word spread like wildfire that Ray was here,
oh,
that
last one was, yeah.
the second show was back to Keystone's Quothers. So
yeah, I can imagine, right? The first one is, oh yeah, I've seen that before. Oh my God, Ray was in it. We missed it. Everybody sees the tweets and the Facebook pictures and things like that. And they're
absolutely
out there to get their own picture or whatever it might be.
Star Tours had troopers near the loading areas interacting with guests. So that was cool. The only thing I did not get to experience, because I'm not a huge Rogue One fan, and that's a show for a different day, was the Inside the Saga celebrity chat show, which was a 30-minute show talking about Rogue One at the Epic Stunt Theater.
So they moved the shows to Indiana Jones Theater.
Correct. They had a 9, 10, and 11.
Because for the last, if you remember... Oh boy, I know that you know, and those of you that have listened to us, if you go back to Star Wars Weekends, the shows were at your theater, which is now completely gone. And the last Star Wars Weekends, it was at the theater in the hills, which is where Beauty and the Beast is, and now they moved it over to Indy Jones, which is a little bigger of a venue each time they made the move.
Absolutely. And it was the same show for Modern for 9, 10, and 11. 9 was the busiest show, obviously. And then 10 was medium crowd, and then 11 was pretty empty.
Yeah, your 11 o'clock show. I'm getting ready for fireworks at that point.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So
I want to add, before we move on, the characters. We mentioned all the Star Wars characters. There was also, and you mentioned it earlier, Mickey and Minnie, Olaf, Buzz and Woody, and Moana were also meeting. But it is interesting to point out that this was not, as you reported at one point in one of our walkthroughs, this was not Jedi Mickey and Minnie. This was Mickey and Minnie in their normal costumes, normal Hollywood Studios garb. We've seen the last of Jedi Mickey and Princess Minnie.
Absolutely. And I did walk by the queue areas for them, and there was nobody in line. Olaf had no line. Mickey and Minnie obviously didn't have a line, or Woody and Buzz.
But now, flip side, if it had been Jedi Mickey, he got some long lines back at Star Wars Weekends.
And we don't speculate on this show, but if we did... Wouldn't it be amazing if he was in his Jedi garb and we did not experience it or no one went to see him and he's in there with his Jedi robe waiting to meet guests?
Yeah, that would be quite interesting for sure.
Absolutely. And then they had a dance party, like I said, DJ Elliot or DJ Lobot.
DJ Elliot was back. Once upon a time known as DJ Lobot, but now DJ Elliot with his Star Wars mix, which I really love his Star Wars mix, by the way.
Absolutely, and he played that right off the bat. And like I said before, and I really want to harp on it now, it was for the people. Like you saw, it was like a high school reunion that you haven't seen in a couple of years. Obviously, it wasn't 10 years ago, but it was so many people that you knew, and you waited overnight to get autographs for Star Wars Weekends, or you're waiting for a hyperspace hoopla, or you're watching Stars of the Saga. It was for the people, and Elliot knew that, and he created the atmosphere of Star Wars Weekends, and just the whole night was that way. And if you ask me, yes, they can do Star Wars Weekends. They have every facility that they want. I know it's a money thing, but when it comes down to logistics, they have everything set in place that they could do Star Wars Weekends again.
They could, and obviously it's a natural comparison, because everything that they did at Star Wars Galactic Nights was either borrowed from or is directly related to Star Wars Weekends. Whether it's the motorcade, the Inside the Saga celebrity shows, the dance party, Galaxy Far, Far Away. We'll talk about some of the other things here, because I know there's a Rebel Base epilogue and a couple of things like that.
Absolutely.
When I look at it, there's a couple of differences I see. Number one, Star Wars Weekends was not a hard-ticketed event.
Mm-hmm.
It was an event that just happened Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays at Hollywood Studio. That was good. That was bad, maybe for some people who were there to experience Hollywood Studios for what it is. This could very easily be, looking at the future of more of these events, so you do one Friday for 4 weeks in a row or something along those lines. But I also think that when the Star Wars experience finally opens in 2019, it could change everything about this.
Mm-hmm.
So I really think this is just sort of still the crutch to get to 2019. Did you see it that way, or what did it really feel like? What did you think coming out of this?
I would imagine, and from talking to people, I could see other nights this year doing it. And I think you're right, as a crutch getting to 2019. I feel coming out of that and seeing the extra nights at Magic Kingdom event, that they're all about extra ticketed events. And it'll be interesting. Like, the one thing I took away from this as well is in the Times Guide with the motorcade route, they don't tell you the stars that were in the motorcade or here that night. So okay, it'll be very interesting if they do go this in the future. What's the big draw? Is it going to be the motorcade? And are they going to promote months ahead?
Are yeah, this person coming. Yeah. Are they promoting celebrities, or are they just promoting an experience?
Absolutely.
Because it sounds like, based on the characters that you interacted with, and based on this little scavenger hunt and the photo backdrops, and then add in fireworks, and a couple of other things that I want to ask you about, you might have enough to not have to promote celebrities.
Yeah, very true. I was really blown away with that photo ops, from people enjoying it to the detail in those things.
So the one thing that had happened once before that I was never able to experience that I would love to, and I don't know if you did it or not, but it's the overlay to the Rock and Roller Coaster.
I did not. I walked over there to see the photo ops around that location, but I did not get a chance to experience that.
And I understand why, because of everything else happening. Mm-hmm. But you're talking about a full-scale makeover of the Rock and Roller Coaster that eliminates the soundtrack, brings mm-hmm. in a new theme of Star Wars, Star Wars music and lighting, and I would love to experience that.
Outside, they had light shining on the building itself, and seeing videos, even the queue is immersive to the point of the video screen, instead of having albums from different rock stars, they have albums from John Williams, Star Wars.
Nice.
So it's very immersive that way as well.
Love it. Absolutely love it.
And speaking of music, every area of that park, from being outside by Tower, or being by the Muppets, or restaurants, ABC, or Backlot Express, was Star Wars music nonstop.
I love that. That's one of the best parts that I thought of Star Wars Weekends, just having it everywhere.
Absolutely.
Cool.
And then we had a Galactic Nights epilogue at 11:40, which was kind of like...
This is kind of leading into fireworks, right? Are the fireworks at midnight, or what time were they?
They were at 11:50.
11:50, and so this is right before the fireworks.
Correct. And it was... Ike, the Magic Memories in You, if you can think that far back of the Magic Kingdom, sure. Where it was, they projected pictures of...
From the day, yes.
Correct, which was cool. And they used the hashtag for the characters and the photo drops, which again, hate to say it again, but were very popular. You would hashtag it, and then you would see it on the Chinese theater.
So every photo prop had its own hashtag?
It was the same hashtag, okay. But you would see different ones.
That's cool. Now, could you see them? Did they look good?
Yeah, they were very, it was high definition.
And that's
pictures.
Why I'm asking. I think the when they did that over at Magic Kingdom, it was early in this technology, and I don't think we were quite with the projectors and the brightness that we have today. It was hard to see some of those pictures.
No, it was crystal. It was crystal clear. So.
That's awesome. And then tell me about the Star Wars Galactic Spectacular. How anything new, anything different? It's amazing anyway.
I will say it was an A show. Everything worked.
That's good.
The only difference was when the Adat Walker was in the snow, it was in the sand on Scarif Beach. And
nice.
And it had the line from the movie saying, Imperial flags are raining everywhere. Are all over the place. So that was the only difference. There wasn't a huge difference within that show. It was just that one part.
It's awesome and so nerdy that you snag those differences. I love it.
And they did do that Saturday night and Sunday night as well.
So I wonder if that's a change that could stick. That's really cool. I love that.
So it was nice to see that show in a mode with all the fireworks, and there was no wind, which was perfect. So,
well, and that was going to be the next question, then. It sounds like the weather was good.
Yeah, and that's a huge difference from Star Wars Weekends. That was in June and the end of May, and you had thunderstorms every day, and you had humidity at night.
Last 2 weeks of May, first 2 weeks of June every year, right?
Yep, that's and you would love this, Sam. They had the Jedi drinks all over the place from the dessert parties that used to have.
I was going to ask you, there were two other questions and points I wanted to make, and one of those was about food and beverages and anything special. I'm going to assume that the TIE Fighter popcorn buckets were all over and the Chewbacca steins were everywhere. Any other special food or merchandise that you noticed?
They had t-shirts from the Galactic Knights, and they had Galactic Knights on the front, and on the back they had like BB-8 and star formation and Kylo Ren's face like projected in the stars.
Cool.
They didn't have much emphasis on food, which I thought was interesting, but they did on the park map promote the Darth Vader cupcake, which has been here for a while.
The Darth Vader chocolate peanut butter cupcake has been around for quite a long time, that's for sure.
And I know you'll get a kick out of this as much as I do. The biggest seller was the TIE Fighter bubble gun.
Oh, yes. Mine was right next to me, but I put it up because we had kids over for the holidays, and I wanted to make sure you know that I had all the bubbles in it. The thing is awesome, that's for sure. So here's the only thing that I was able to find very quickly when food and beverage, and this is, if you're into this, this might be interesting. They had Skywalker Vineyard wines were featured at some of the bars throughout Rebel Base.
Wow.
And the snack carts located throughout the park featured specialty cupcakes, which we know what those are. They're the Darth Vader chocolate cupcake and the BB-8 lemon cupcake. And and the third one would have either been Yoda or R2-D2. I don't know which they would have had at this event. But I've seen both those before. They had lightsaber churros, apparently.
I did not see that. That's interesting.
And, of course, the Chewbacca steins and the TIE Fighter buckets. Those were the only things that we saw.
I will say this much about the Skywalker Vineyard. They had the wine bottles to sell at Launch Bay, and I know we talked about that before. When you buy it, they ship it to the front of the park where you pick it up.
Right.
The line to pick up your wine bottle was from Oscar's gas station, which is in the front of the park for people
right.
that are not familiar with it.
Front on the right.
All the way to Starring Rolls. People thought it was like a gift that they were giving people exiting the park, and it was buying the wine bottles, which
picking
I thought was amazing.
Picking up a bottle of wine that you already
yep.
paid for, that waited in line to pay for.
It was incredible to see that.
Could you imagine them getting out? Oh, wow. I wonder how the logistics of that behind the scene had to have been a nightmare.
Absolutely.
Now, that said, you mentioned something, we'll go off Star Wars topic just a bit. Was Starring Rolls opened? Were they doing anything in it? What's been happening there since we talked last?
Only for that event, they had a bar inside of Starring Rolls, which people were sitting at the tables outside and ordering drinks, but instead of getting them from the Brown Derby bar, which is outside, they were going inside Starring Rolls to get the drinks and come back out.
Got it. So they were using it almost as back of the house as a serving place.
And with that being said, that was only that night. That hasn't happened any other night except for that Galactic Night.
Well, if you think about it, Galactic Nights, they know exactly how many tickets they sold. They know how many people are going to be in there. They know how many extra carts that they need selling merchandise, extra places that they need for drinks and beverages, and how many extra X-Wing Blinky Cube things they need, right?
And speaking of that, the crowd was very average. I know Unleash the Villains, they oversold it. It wasn't slammed, I will say, going into pros and negatives of this. The motorcade was at 8. They had a rope for that, and then they had an extra rope in front of that for people that wanted to see the Imperial March and the Galaxy Far, Far Away show before the motorcade. And after that show, they had to move. But communication with cast members and those people after the show before the motorcade wasn't the greatest and had some bickering and fighting. But for the most part, it wasn't oversold, which was nice. And it was a lot, which I noticed, was a lot of repetitive things. Like the Imperial March was three times night. After the second time, I was by Star Tours filming it for the third time. No one was there.
Got it. Because I saw that, I want to move on to something else.
Yeah.
And that also, we started talking about weather. Can you imagine how bad this would have been if it had rained? It just
what
sounds
do you do?
Like because of that, because of the time of year, it could have a lot to do with it. But because Star Wars weekends, you'd always get some rain, and all of these photo props are outside, and you're only there for 5 hours.
It's very crammed. It's very crammed. Like, you have to know what you're doing. And we say that about Disney all the time. But sure. Disney, you have 12 hours basically in a day in a park to know what you want to do. You really have to know what character you want to meet, especially what photo op. If you can pick one photo op, which one do you want it to be? And I would suggest doing that first. There was people waiting for the Wampa Cave at 5 o'clock. And the cool thing, though, is that those sets are already out there. So at 5 o'clock, if you don't care for PhotoPass, you can have your friend take a picture with you for you in there.
They were out. That's some good advice. They're out earlier and you can do it. There's just no PhotoPass photographer.
Absolutely.
So in reality, you don't even have to be going to the event to be able to pull that off.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So the one thing, John, that I personally miss from Star Wars weekends, and I'm looking at the Disney Parks blog and when they first announced this event, and the very bottom bullet point is show your Star Wars spirit. And it says, come dressed as your favorite character and celebrate 40 years of Star Wars milestones. Star Wars weekends to me was the time when you saw the best fan costumes ever.
Mm-hmm.
With Celebration going on at the convention center, and Disney inviting people into Hollywood Studios for this event. What were their costumes? How were they? Can you compare that to Star Wars Weekends?
It was identical. And I will compliment Disney with this. They have a no-mask rule, obviously, for the Halloween party.
Right.
They allowed Stormtrooper helmets in to take pictures with Vader, but they had to be off before and after. So you can put it on, take a picture with Vader, and then after that, they had to be either carried, put in a bag, lock, or whatever. So that was cool. It was so much like Star Wars Weekends, Jedi's, and now after The Force Awakens, there's a lot of older Luke Skywalker Jedi's walking around. A lot of Kylo Ren's without the mask. A lot of Rey's. So sure. It was identical. It was very much people dressed up with lightsabers and Jedi outfits. And not so many Stormtroopers, but Kylo Ren, I guess, if you're on the Empire side, had the most people dressing up as.
So more Kylo Ren's than Vader's?
Yes, by far. By far.
Interesting.
So.
Very interesting. But that, and I don't know if you agree or not, but I missed that from Star Wars Weekend. Just seeing the whole families, where the dad's mm-hmm. Han Solo and the mom's Princess Leia and you got Luke. It's just amazing. Some of that stuff they've done. So yeah. Other than that, I mean, you attended, before you were Johnny Hollywood, I called you Johnny Star Wars Weekends. What did you think overall?
I loved it. I'll do it again.
So let me say it again. For $129, which is what this event costs, you'll do it again?
Yes, because not because of the photo ops or the show, it's because of the community. However foolish that sounds, like Celebration, you were talking about Celebration at the beginning of the show.
Right.
It's Star Wars is a community.
Yeah.
And that's why I would do it again. Like, it was so good to see people that you haven't seen for 2 years. Now, granted, if this event becomes a 5-night-a-year thing, people are not going to spend $129 a night for 5 nights to do it every time. I'm very interested to see down the road how they do the celebrities, if they promote, if that's their promotion. Because after you saw the Galaxy Far, Far Away show, after you saw the first Imperial March, you're kind of sitting there thinking what photo op you want to do.
Sure. Which one's got the shortest line?
Absolutely. So it's a bag of mixed emotions. I think $129 was pretty steep. I would like to see it. If it was $90, $100, I would do it. $129 is a day at Magic Kingdom in the summer. And you're there from 8 a.m. to midnight usually in the summer. Those are the hours. I would do it again. I would like to see the price come down, obviously.
Well, so let's compare that price very quickly, because the Halloween party and the Christmas party for 2017 were recently announced. And looking at those, because this depends on the nights of the week, and of course Halloween night's more expensive, it looks like the Christmas party ranges from $86 to $99. So, which is the 99 is the most I think I've ever seen the Christmas party come in at. So it's $30 more for the Star Wars event. I think the Christmas party, you know, very similar in what you're talking about. It's from 7 p.m. until midnight. You have some attractions opened. You have a whole bunch of characters to see. You have a special parade and special fireworks. You can see the similarities here. Disney has potentially created the hard-ticketed event for Hollywood Studios that they want.
And you know, you're thinking about when's the next day you can do it. Because I think you have to put these events on big selling days.
Absolutely.
And you know the next day is going to be May the 4th. Like, I would put all my money on the next Galactic Nights being May the 4th. It just makes sense.
It does make sense, but that's only 3 weeks away.
Yeah, but
That's my only concern. I'm with you, John. May the 4th is huge. May the 4th, and you could do lots of things there, but it's only 3 weeks away. I would think that we'd heard something by now if that was going to happen.
Yeah. Well, like I said at the big beginning of the show, one host said it's the first night ever of Galactic Nights. The other host said Galactic Night. It's very... Disney wants to see how much money they can make, obviously, and they wanted to see the turnout. That's their public statement. They got the turnout they wanted because of Celebration. It'll be
yes,
the next...
Completely agree. There's no coincidence here that this was held while there were 50,000 Star Wars fans in the Orlando area.
The next Galactic Night will be the true test. I think this might be false gold of the turnout. But we'll see.
Unless, you know, looking at Star Wars Celebration, which is run by Lucasfilms, which is now owned by Disney, where is Celebration next year? Any idea?
I am not sure. I have not seen it because I've been out of by my computer, but...
So, if it is in Orlando, you could see this happening again, right? If this is in Anaheim, you could see something happening at Disneyland. There's lots of possibilities here.
Well, you know it has... Either Celebration has to be in Anaheim or Orlando for 2019.
And looking here, I with the power of Google, very quickly, I'm reading that Star Wars Celebration will be taking a break in 2018 and will be back in 2019.
Wow.
That was announced during the closing ceremonies, which are earlier today, but I don't see where it's going to be in 19. But if it's in Anaheim and or Orlando, I'd pretty much bet it's going to be right around the time that Star Wars Land opens.
Because you know, as well as I know, Disney likes to open things in May. And for the media event.
They like to open things just in time for the summer rush. Let's be honest, right?
Absolutely. So, no, it was a great event. I think they really did a good job with everything. The red carpet was, I think, a cool touch. And we'll see how it comes in the future.
Yeah, looking at a little further into Google here, it looks like Star Wars Celebration is going to be taking an every other year approach, much like D23 Expo.
Gotcha.
That puts them both the same year if they go with 19. Because I could see it being the off year, right? There's a D23 one year and there's a Star Wars Celebration one year, but it doesn't look that way.
And just my opinion, I don't think the turnout for Celebration was that good last year because of Rogue One and not being in the trilogy film. Not saying Rogue One was awful, but I don't think people were as excited as this year having The Last Jedi and having that buzz. There wasn't buzz. There was Buzz Anaheim with The Force Awakens, Star Wars is back. I think that was the best celebration that I've seen. And then I think it took a step down, being overseas and Rogue One being the first standalone film and not having that much buzz. But I think the buzz was back with how great Rogue One did, obviously, and then the Last Jedi debuting this year.
I'm with you. If possible, I will do this thing the next time it happens. That's for sure. I don't know what I'll do, but I would love to be there because this fills the void that was left with Star Wars Weekends. And at some point on the show, we're going to talk about Rogue One because I think you and I have slightly different opinions of Rogue One.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
and to kind of show where I'm at, I absolutely loved it. Thought Rogue One was absolutely one of the best, just because it, for me, it was done in that same tone and the same time frame as the original Star Wars, that it just took me back to being a kid, and it was absolutely perfect for me. I love it.
And like, you're gonna love it. Like, just being back in that atmosphere with the same people.
Sure.
And the motorcade was great.
Awesome. Or any asks for Disney for the next time they do this?
I would like to see some Force Awakens or Last Jedi people in there. I don't know if they're trying to stay away from that because they're still working on the trilogy of 7, 8, and 9. But it was, again, it was awesome to see the original cast, that like Warwick Davis, that you know has been there forever,
yeah.
Peter Mayhew. So
absolutely.
It was great to attend, and I would definitely attend another one.
Thanks, John. Thanks for the time. Next time, let's do something live in the Hollywood studios as we walk around. So I'm looking at things, not trying to envision what you're talking about with photo props and where those things are. Anything else interesting at studios?
Well, I will say this much. Being there as often as I am, they are definitely draining Echo Lake.
So I asked on purpose because I think that's breaking news. Now, whether it's being done for maintenance or construction purposes or who knows what, but the water level Echo Lake is being lowered mysteriously every night.
Well, I'll say this much, and I didn't even... You're the one who brought it up when we were talking off the air. I didn't even think about maintenance, and it really could be maintenance with all the work going back behind the scenes.
And I only speculate that because that's what they're doing with the Miss Piggy fountain back in Muppet Courtyard, right? They've drained it. They've put plants in it. That's temporary because they are playing with the piping and doing all sorts of things and needed to turn things off so that they could build the new experiences that are coming. It's very possible that the water table of Echo Lake is impacting or going to be shared with something that's coming in. I mean, we've heard that there's going to be some water effects back in Star Wars Land, so maybe Echo Lake and that's on the same water table? Who knows? Maybe not. I could be completely wrong.
And speaking of that, not going on a far tangent, but speaking of Celebration and the Disney parks, they did announce that one of the lands will be based off a land in Episode 8 in Star Wars Land.
Which is another reason why they're not going to tell us anything.
Exactly.
Until after December. Anyway.
And the picture art they used, speaking about that, was from the trailer where the new spaceship with, I guess, the thing on the ground with the red smoke coming from behind. So, not sure if that's quote-unquote the land, but that's the image they used speaking about the land. So, we will show you.
I love it, John. Thanks for your time, man.
Appreciate it. May the Force be with you.
Same with you, and thank you guys for listening to the Disney Nerds podcast. Remember, you can find us at thedisneynerds.com. Hope to hear from you soon. Kungaloosh.
See ya.
And now, onto the stage, I'd like to introduce Mr. Warwick Davis.
Yeah!
Warwick Davis, welcome to Star Wars Galactic Nights. You are a favorite here from Star Wars Weekends and everything, and you are also the main host at Star Wars Celebration. How are you doing tonight, Warwick?
It's so lovely to be back here at Hollywood Studios, a place I've spent many a happy time over many, many years now as the host of Star Wars Weekend. And it's it feels like my second home. It's great to be back. To see all of you guys as well. It's fantastic. It's so nice to be here. here again, and we're celebrating a whole new series of Star Wars. Star Wars is here to stay for many, many years to come. So great to see you all. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Marcus. And now finally, Mr. Anthony Daniels, make your way out. Every Star Wars film, Anthony, welcome. It's our first ever Star Wars Galactic Nights. How are you feeling tonight?
With so many Star Wars fans in front of me. Thank you for being here.
Thank you very much. Now, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a photo right now. So, let's, here we go. We're going to stand right over here. Perfect. All right. Everybody ready? Cameras ready? And on three, we're all going to strike a pose. Here we go. One, two, three. Are you okay, Anthony? All right. We're going to do another one. Let's switch it up. Switch it up, everyone. Switch it up. Here we go. Switch it up. Switch it up. Strike a pose on three. One, two, three.
You're nailing it. All right, Mom, did you think that's a perfect shot, or do you want one more?
One more.
All right, I want your best poses ever. The best one ever, ever. Ready?
Let's go. Please.
One, two, three.
Simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay.